By then, we were on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and things were really starting to get out of hand. It's incredible what this guy can do, such as the old fella at Bethsaida, the pool with five porticos. This chap had been bedridden for nearly 40 years, and he asked Jesus to help him to the pool, which has healing properties. But Jesus just said to him, "Take up your bed and walk." And he did. That's just one example. There's so many more. Because of that, of course, more and more people were following us every day. By then, there were thousands and thousands of them. We could barely go anywhere because of this great horde of people. Hence, we had to head up to the mountains in order to try and get a bit of peace. But they all followed us. And Jesus sat down and taught a throng of about 5,000 men. And that's before you start on all the women and the children. Of course, as the day wore on, there was this huge crowd. And they were all starting to get hungry. Precious few of them had thought to bring anything to eat. I could tell that those followers closest to Jesus were starting to get a bit anxious. I mean, how on earth were we going to feed so many people? We couldn't afford the bread, even if we could have got hold of enough of it, which was doubtful. A hungry crowd can quickly turn hostile. It was Andrew who suddenly appeared with a little lad. He was a good kid, obviously, and clearly he had been taught the value of sharing, because he'd brought along 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. He had them with him for his own supper. It was a nice idea, but as Andrew said, it wasn't likely to help much. But Jesus just told them to get everyone to sit down. I was watching him like a hawk. He was up to something. He blessed the bread and the fish and said that it should be handed around. I tell you, I went hot and cold all over. I watched, and the further out into the crowd that the food went, there was more and more and more of it. The more people shared it around, the more of it there was. Everyone ate fit to burst. Everyone ate their fill, and a bit more besides, and all from this one little lad's picnic. When everyone had got to the point where they couldn't eat another thing, we started to gather up the leftovers. And I tell you, there were 12 big baskets full left over. It was the most incredible thing. To be able to feed all those people and from almost nothing. The power that this man Jesus must have is out of this world. Before, I've seen him do many things, but it's always been fairly private. To know what had happened for sure, rather than just hearsay, you needed to be there. But this time, he did it in front of thousands and thousands of people, and all of them were a part of it. So the impact of what he'd done was massive. I thought to myself, this is it. This really is it. The end of the Romans and their puppet government. The crowd were really working themselves up now. They were all for taking Jesus back down off the mountain and crowning him as king right there and then. I mean, with a king like that, no one would ever have to do a day's work again. And if he could do that, what couldn't he do? Then I noticed that Jesus had quietly slipped away. I grabbed one of his followers, the one closest to him, and demanded to know where he'd gone. I was caught up in it all, you see, and I said, "They're going to make him the king. Where is he?" He just looked at me and said, "Joel, that isn't what this is about."